said, did you get up this morning? Did you get up this morning? And if you got up on your own accord and nobody had to help you get up, you need to give a praise right now. That you have the power, you have the fortitude, you have the strength to get up all on your own. That he had food on your table, and there was gas in your car, that there was extra clothes in your car, and that you feed it in safety. Father, praise him for who he is. The state of Israel against Jesus of Nazareth. I think it's going to be on Court TV next week, but if you missed last week, go and get it on the app. It's in the archives, but you missed the trial of the century as Jesus was put on trial for acts of sedition, for acts of treason, for acting like a doctor, for acting like a counselor, for being a bootlegger by turning that water into wine, and being a fisherman without a commercial license. We put Jesus up on trial last week. Well, let me tell you at the end of the story. I asked for a directed verdict after the devil put up his few little clients, his few little witnesses. I asked for a directed verdict, and the judge was about to give it. Just leave them right there. Just leave them right there. Don't move nobody. They got a seat. They stay right there. We'll find someplace else. We asked for a directed verdict. We asked the judge after they put up their little witnesses, and after I had all my witnesses, I asked for a directed verdict. Now, a directed verdict is a verdict where you ask the judge to stop the case. Instead of the case going to the jury, we just ask the judge to decide because we believe that there's not enough evidence to find your client guilty. So we asked for a directed verdict, and the verdict was, and the judge was inclined to give me a directed verdict, and he was about to rule himself. Let's look at the court record, what's about to happen. And the same day, Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at enmity between themselves. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said unto them, ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I have examined him before you, and found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof ye accuse him. Nor not yet, Herod, for I sent you to him. And lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him. For of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast. And they cried out all at once, saying, away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas. Who? For a certain sedition made in the city and for murder was cast into prison. Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. But they cried, saying, crucify him, crucify him. And he said unto them the third time, why? What evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. So the judge was willing to let my client go for lack of real evidence against him, and was willing to release Barabbas, who was in jail because of murder. Now, normally, you only have a capital murder trial when someone is guilty of murder. But they have my client on some trumped up charges because he ain't murdered or killed nobody. As a matter of fact, he kept healing people to keep them alive. And the man that was dead by the name of Lazarus, he brought back from the dead to life. So I still don't understand why they wanted to have a capital murder trial for somebody who has done no murder. And the judge was willing to release my client, but while the judge was making his decision, the jurors were conspiring. And they had not even been back to the jury room. They started calling him guilty, guilty, guilty.
sentencing. Not only did they find him guilty, they sentenced him on the spot to die. And they crucified him. They crucified him between two thieves. They crucified him between two men who deserved to have died. They crucified him to two men who knew that they were wrong. One of them, as a matter of fact, said, I know I'm guilty, but hey, when you come in your kingdom, remember I was smart enough to confess my sins and my fault. I ain't like the other guy sitting next to me who think I'm all that and a bag of chips and ain't never confessed being a sinner, but I know I have done wrong and I deserve to die, but will you forgive me for my sins? Anybody can be honest with yourself and say, I know I've done some wrong. I know I ain't all the way right. I know I've made some mistakes. But Father, when you come in your kingdom, will you remember me? And Jesus said, not only will I remember you then, I'm going to save you right now. He said, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. Well, Friday night turned into Saturday morning. Nothing happened. All my clients, witnesses, ran and died. Everybody who was a witness for him last week didn't want to be seen. Ain't nobody want to be interviewed by NBC News. Even the foreman of the jury didn't want to say a word. Nobody wanted to explain their decision to kill my client. Saturday morning turned into Saturday afternoon. No word. We had heard him say before that he was going to tear down the temple and raise it back up. But we weren't kind of sure what he was talking about. We weren't sure if he was talking about Solomon's temple or his temple. So we just waited, and we waited, and we waited. We were watching the news, looking on Facebook. Ain't nobody tweeted nothing. Saturday night, not no tweet, not no post. Nobody made a phone call. Everybody was scared that the FBI had tapped their lines. So ain't nobody said a word. Early Sunday morning. You know, you can't have a Baptist Easter celebration without saying, early Sunday morning. They would vote me out of this church if I don't say, early Sunday morning. Matter of fact, can I hear you say, early Sunday morning? Something happened. Two women. Put it up there. Put it up there. Two women. Got a basket of spices and went to the tomb to anoint his body. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed, that thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. Tell your neighbor it was a setup. These two women that went to the grave were also there at the funeral. Now, you remember when he was feeding 5,000 people, and you know, when he opened up Captain D's up on that hill, it was 5,000 people. But at the funeral, it wasn't but five women. None of his boys were pallbearers. All y'all who testified last week for him, nobody showed up to the funeral. We didn't have to print no more obituaries. Only five women went to the burial place. So only five people plus the centurion soldier knew where he was buried. And Mary Magdalene and her cousin Mary were the last two that left. They saw them roll the boulder they saw that boulder being rolled by a group of soldiers. Not a rock, but a boulder big enough to enclose a cave. And them two little women went down Sunday morning thinking they were going to move the boulder. Tell your neighbor it was a setup. Ain't no way in the world it took an army to put it there the first time. Who did they think was going to help them move the body or move the boulder to get to the body to anoint it with spices and to give Jesus a proper burial? Tell your neighbor it was a setup. The funeral happened so fast that they were not able to anoint and spice and rub and anoint his body in Jewish customs. It happened so fast that the only thing they could do was put him in linen and throw him in that tomb. They were so scared that the Romans were going to come after everybody else. They were so scared that the Romans thought that their friends would try to come get him. So everything happened so fast, so they did not have enough time to give him the proper ritual burial. So they were being what they thought good Jewish pious women to come and anoint the body. And Jesus knew that they would have to come because his body could not rest. It could not sleep. And those of us who are African-Americans know that's part of our custom. You better do your mama right when you bury her. That's why some of y'all still put coins in your mama's casket and write notes to them and all that and go visit the grave. Everybody's at the grave because we believe that you've got to put your loved one away right or else they will haunt you. I'm talking to all y'all from Waukesha and St. John's Island, all y'all from Low Country folk. And y'all know I'm telling you, if you don't do it right, they will haunt you. Y'all say they will ride you like a hag. I'll box you in your eye. You don't do right by me. I'll tell you a thing or two. And so they wanted to make sure they gave him a proper burial, so they went back. But who was going to move that boulder? Tell your neighbor it was a setup. God knew he needed a witness. He needed a witness. And he knew the boys were hiding. And men always hide from church work. Not mine, but the others. So he called Erica two women, two pious Jewish women who he could count on to do what he asked them to do, even though it was crazy. Every now and then, God is going to ask you to do something that just appears to be crazy. Leave my good job down there in Florida and come all the way up to this mess. Every now and then, he going to ask you to do something crazy. Come be the minister of music over here. I got a good place where I am right now. Every now and then, he going to ask you to do something crazy. Leave my house to another house that I done already paid off my house. Go bring my mama, mother-in-law into my house. Every now and then, God is going to ask you to do something crazy, but do you have enough crazy faith to believe whatever God has asked you to do, he's going to make provision if he gives you provision? And that's what he did. He gave those women a vision to go anoint his body, give him a respectful burial, and when they got there, lo and behold, the stone had already been rolled away. They didn't have to do no work. They didn't have to cry. They didn't have to waste no sweat. And that's when you know when something is of God, when he makes your way straight. When you don't have no stress in the matter. When you don't have to use no energy to get it done. When you don't have to manipulate nothing. You ain't got to lie. You ain't got to call people. You ain't got to have to vote before the vote. Calling people the night before the vote. See how they're going to vote. Just let God have his way and watch everything work out. Your neighbor was a setup. He made sure that somebody was coming to that grave that first Easter morning. And he knew if he got those two women to come, if he knew he got two women to touch and agree, they would run and tell the story. The brothers wouldn't have said nothing. But he knew if he got those two women, they would run and tell the story. Tell your neighbor it was a setup. And I'm here to declare unto somebody today, I'm about to speak a word into your life right now. I don't know what tomb you might find yourself in right now. I don't know what stress you're going through right now. I don't know what problems you're going through right now. I don't know about the vicissitudes of life that are bogging you down right now, but I'm telling you right now, it's just a setup. And I'm telling you about to come right on out of whatever you're going through right now. Anybody can believe that whatever you're going through right now, God is just about to set you up for a miracle that's about to happen in your life. It might just be one or two, three of y'all going through something, but God has never brought you to something unless he's going to bring you through something. And you watch what's about to go. Wait one moment. Wait a minute. If you don't believe me, watch what's about to go on in 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. It ain't nothing but a setup. It ain't nothing but a setup. See, God likes to get you way up high. He wants you to be so